Here's one for the end zone and a touchdown by Uzama. First touchdown pass for the rookie Joe Burrow in the NFL. This one downfield. Beckham got him. Touchdown Browns.
Joe Burrow's got to be smart here with the football.
And he's not. Gets it knocked out. Browns have it. Here's Hunt. He's in. Touchdown.
Kareem Hunt ices the game for the Cleveland Browns, who have a resurgent offensive effort, running the ball at will for over 200 yards against the Cincinnati Bengals in a 35-30 win at the Dog Pound. The Browns move to 1-1. The Bengals drop to 0-2, but not without hope, because their rookie quarterback once again shows why he feels like the future of Cincinnati football, and maybe the NFL, but we'll get to that. Dan Hans is here with Greg Rosenthal, Chris Wessling, and a very happy / relieved Mark Sessler. Mark, we'll start with you. You batten down the hatches over at Sessler Manor and took this game in. You have to be feeling really good about the offense after this one.
Well, I feel a sense of relief. I think I scared off my children and probably Simone during the course of this game.
I'd give anything for there to be a camera and mics in that house tonight. I couldn't even imagine what was going on in that place.
Greg, you ask how so. I think that my demeanor watching Browns games in front of other people, which I think you've witnessed to some degree, is probably different than maybe other dads, maybe other people in general. I also went into this game with intense trepidation. And I think there's two things happening. And I think two things did happen in this game. One, the sense that the Bengals, I kind of felt even watching last week's game where, you know, Joe Burrow was taken all over the place by an incredible pass rush, but still showed these amazing traits, that there is an evolutionary quarterback rising in Cincinnati. So in a way you'd say, well, I'd hate that. But actually, and Wes, I loved your tweet during the contest itself, that the Browns and Bengals, these two teams from the cradle of football, from Ohio, have been dead in the water, and have a combined like 50-something years between either one of them winning a playoff game. I'm really happy, actually, to see both teams with a functional quarterback. It's been a really long time, and like the better part of me is happy for that. The worst part of me was absolutely freaking out during this game. And there's just something inside of me that I think everyone's like, oh, good, the Browns won a game, and like, let's pat Mark on the head and he has a nice time. Like, what I really want, I think what any football fan would want, especially if you've watched a team that suffered for so long, is a team that cuts other teams down, that takes the head off other teams, that removes them. And I think the Browns have suffered a lack of that killer instinct for so long. And I think that there were moments in this game tonight, for all their good things, that I felt those same jitters. And, you know, not to get in all that, I think they played a good, clean performance that gives you some hope about what Kevin Stefanski is instilling here. I mean, the ground game, they've obviously got talent with Chubb and Hunt, and it worked tonight. There was a lot of positives. I don't think they're I'm not trying to be overly pessimistic. I just think they're one of the teams in the AFC. You look at what happened last week. You looked what happened against a lesser Bengals team tonight. They're somewhere in the middle. There's positives. But I would say that the bigger story of the game was the fact that the Bengals, for the first time since maybe Boomer Esiason, Wes, I don't know, have something maybe even more hopeful than Boomer Esiason. And yeah. The part of me that grew up watching Browns-Bengals thrive as a true rivalry cheers for that versus being a bad sport about that. I'm excited to see it. I'm also a little bit scared.
That football game delivered. I loved it. Yeah. That was one of my favorite Thursday night games. And I'm so happy for Browns fans, because Baker Mayfield looked broken last week. He looked broken as a quarterback, like he didn't want any of the fight. He didn't want to stand in the pocket. He was throwing off his back foot, fading away from pressure. His tendency was to shy away from any kind of pressure whatsoever. He looked like a draft bust. And a week later, he comes out, and the body language is so different. Last week, fading from pressure. This week, he's got his little pigeon-toed strut the cock on the walk, that little knee-high kick before the throw when he's feeling good and in the groove. Baker delivered keyhole accuracy tonight. The ball placement on the receiver's hands every single time. And then on the other side, Joey Burrow, who to me, I don't throw out the comparison lightly, but I like to break down quarterbacks into families like biology. He's in the Joe Montana family of quarterbacks, and the dominant feature of which is light-footedness. He's got the light-footedness in the pocket, the way he moves as a passer, as a scrambler. The unflappability is another trait in the Montana school. Joey Burrow's got that in spades. You cannot count him out of a game. The Bengals are not blowout artists anymore. You're not going to walk in that, and you're not going to walk all over them like you have for years, because the quarterback doesn't have that in his DNA. I just like the way Burrow plays. This is a fun matchup now. And do you know how much bad football these two franchises have played in the last 30 years? What a fun night.
It really did deliver. I thought the Baker play that impressed me the most was, I think it was 3rd and 8 in the first drive of the second half. It was out of shotgun. It wasn't a play action. He had some pressure in his face. And he made the right read, and he delivered on that 3rd and 8. And those are the sort of plays you want to see from him. I thought they did a good job, you know, scheming him up. I mean, it reminded me a little bit of his rookie year, in the sense that he only had to throw 23 passes. One was, you know, a bad interception. He had guys pretty open. Most were first reads. He made a couple plays outside the pocket, but I think they're really rebuilding Mayfield from scratch, which I wouldn't say it's disappointing, but that's just where they're at with Mayfield in his third season. So I like Mark. I'm not going to say that they've solved everything, but sometimes it's not all about Baker. I mean, their offense is good. I thought their offensive line played both well last week. I thought they played well against the Ravens, and they've got two of the best 10 backs in the league. The Kareem Hunt lack of I don't know if respect's the right word, because everything that's happened with him, but I threw out some, you know, hot take about they've got two of the best 10 backs. I think people don't realize how amazing Kareem Hunt is as a player. He led the league in rushing as a rookie. I think he's better now. Chubb, to me, is probably the best back in the league, certainly one of the top two or three. And Hunt is like, that is an incredible 1-2 punch. So you have all that support. We know about the receivers. It doesn't have to all be about Baker, and I don't think tonight really was.
I think the only part of the game that I would have enjoyed, because it was very enjoyable, I thought it was going to be, talked about it earlier this week, that I felt like it was going to be a fun game, and it really was. The only thing I did want was, after the Baker pick, and then Cincinnati goes down the field, they score, they make it 28-23, about 5 minutes to play. I thought that was a great setup to see what Baker had in him there, with a little bit of adversity and like this horror show potential if they somehow blew this game after kind of controlling it the whole way. But we never got to see that. Not a bad thing for the Browns, because what happened next was an absolute decimation of the Cincinnati defense. I'll go through it real quick. Chubb for 4 yards, Chubb for 26 yards, Hunt for 33 yards, Hunt for 11 yards, Hunt for 10 yards, Hunt for 1 yard and the touchdown, 35-23, game over. Mayfield didn't even have to throw a pass. That was where the Cincinnati defense was at that point against the great, great Cleveland rushing attack. So that was very interesting that they were able to close it out that way. Cincinnati is not there yet. I don't know if – it kind of reminds me, Wes, you mentioned Joe Montana. I'm thinking of another all-time great, Peyton Manning, that first year with the Colts, where the Colts – stunk, 3-13, and Manning threw, I think, 27 picks, but he also had a bunch of spirited performances in there where there was a lot of reason to hope by the end of the season, but they also weren't not a team that was competing for a playoff spot. It seems like there's so many missing pieces here. The offensive line got worked for a second straight week, and I don't know what's going on, and I don't want to stick a fork in the guy because he's a borderline Hall of Fame guy before he got injured. But A.J. Green looked cooked in this game. I don't know. He just seemed lethargic. He couldn't make a play. Even in garbage time, he couldn't stack up numbers like any solid wide receiver would be able to do. He was not the guy that Joey Burrow needs him to be, which is that veteran number one guy to help him along with his progress. And then you had, you know, where was John Ross? Where was he in this game? I don't
he's
know.
Their,
was he
he's
injured?
Their fourth receiver.
All right. Well, I don't know. They had one play.
For the ball.
They had one play over 20 yards, one completion.
That's their only one in 2 weeks. That's the thing is they have a very condensed Rams-like offense. I want to just see the Burrow thing play out. I'm enjoying watching him play. I think we've now seen these young quarterbacks so much. I'm more hesitant than I ever been to bury guys quickly, but also to like raise them up too much. He's obviously like he passes that baseline of like if he's protected, he's going to deliver. That means you're an NFL starter. Like some guys, when they're protected, they still aren't good quarterbacks. The Bortles is in the different place. Like we know Burrow is over that line, and I'm excited to watch the rest. But yeah, there's no explosiveness in this particular Bengals offense right now.
I would say also that, I mean, this was a pretty good game by Denzel Ward, who is leading a pretty banged up cornerback group and secondary right now. And, you know, they're shorthanded. And I feel like I saw Denzel Ward like on top of AJ Green and fill in the blank, like, you know, 7 or 8 times down the stretch. I come away and I don't want to reiterate my point, but just that, you know, it's funny because I was watching with Simone West and like she was like, is Joe Burrow kind of Steve Youngish? And I was like, you know, West compared him to Joe Montana to some degree. And I'm like, he might be somewhere in the middle of these guys. And that is a bit of a freaky thought for the AFC. And I hear you, Greg, not to, you know, put him into Canton, which has a lot of plaques we've learned in Canton. But, you know,
it's not certain yet.
Well, Greg claims there are a lot of plaques there, but I
we saw one. We saw Roger Goodell touching one. He was having a great moment.
Yeah, but we don't know if every player has a plaque or if there's a section of the Hall of Fame that has plaques.
TBD. It's just, I mean, look at like the Browns are Bengals arch rivals, and that's fine. But the Bengals fan base has been through a 30-year nightmare, and add on another 10 years if you want. And like, this is exciting. It's exciting for all of football if Burrow works. And it's exciting if you're in any division and other quarterbacks rise up in that division, you want to go out and compete like in your division against the best in the AFC or NFC, and like it raises like the fire. I mean, I don't remember a game that got me up off the couch where I just felt inside like if the Browns blow this thing, I'm gonna punch 7 holes in the house we just rented 2 months ago.
Oh, what Greg did when Backdoor Burrow made it 35-30 in the final minute. You know, Greg has a lot of plastering to do on his walls this weekend.
Ooh, actually, you know, if you check out NFL.com/gamepicks, you'll see. You know, I split the difference nicely. Browns win. Bengals get it under 6.
Wes, any other thoughts about this game as you were watching?
Yeah, I think it's worth reiterating that both of these defenses stink, and that's one of the major reasons why these young quarterbacks looked good. The four of us know we're pumping up two teams that probably are not playoff bound. Who knows? Maybe they are, but they're probably not. But this night was about hope, and for a fan like Mark, for the Browns, hope means that if you have one game like this, they drafted Baker Mayfield number one for a reason, and we saw part of that tonight. They drafted Myles Garrett number one for a reason. We saw a big play in the fourth quarter out of him. They drafted Denzel Ward number four for a reason. He had a big game. Chubb, you string enough of these guys together, and you get another game next week of hope, and 3 or 4 more games after that of hope with a legitimate talent base. Now you can turn a franchise around.
I want to see what the Browns do next week against Washington.
You could turn a franchise around with enough weeks like that. And from a fan's point of view, that's what it's all about. And now the Bengals have that with Joe Burrow, too. You can pull this team out of 3 decades worth of not winning a playoff game, of no real hope. If you have the right quarterback, you can do that. And, yeah, they're a long way off. You know, it's a shame that Joey Burrow is rising while A.J. Green is falling. And, Dan, you were wearing him out. Keisha was wearing out A.J. Green on the couch saying he needed to play Auden Tate.
Ricky Hollywood's dying.
Green's right. Auden out of Tate.
Ricky Hollywood drafted him in fantasy, and he's
well,
he
Ricky
just
Hollywood
her.
Needs to pick up Drew Sample. That's my fantasy advice for
I
her.
Should. I
yeah.
should.
Do it right
I
now. Mean,
they
hit that
threw the ball to Green 13 times for 29 yards.
Touchdowns this year already.
They really should play Auden Tate a little more. But to your point on the defenses, Wes, like you're not like we haven't mentioned Joe. What is it, Joe Woods, right?
Well, the Browns deep in the forest is where he is.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't
the
know
Browns
what's
defensive
going on
coordinator. I don't think has gotten like a mention on the Around the NFL podcast in 2020. He's new, and the early results. are not good. I know they're missing Olivier Vernon and a few cornerbacks for sure.
Joe lost in the woods.
They're getting worse.
But it hasn't
like Sessler and Malibu 10 years ago.
Right.
My last point, dump the onside kick. And I'm happy it didn't turn into drama because Sessler literally would not have been able to handle it. And I didn't need the Bengals recovering onside kick and then doing this podcast with you guys because we might not survive that as a foursome. But it really does jump out to me in situations like, especially a fun Thursday night game where it's like, wow, anything could happen tonight. Oh, except for an onside kick that actually swings the game the other way. I want that rule to come into effect. If they say for safety reasons, and I don't remember this, but Greg told me before we started rolling that concussions were out of this world on onside kicks, and they said we had to make it a safer play. Okay, I'll take your word for it and the scientists out there. Then let's do the 4th and 15 thing, or even better, make it 4th and 18. I just feel like that for some reason those 3 yards matter. And make that a play that matters. Because you guys, and I don't say you, I say the football world insisted on making an extra point harder because it wasn't a real play, which I hate that, but now it is a real play because guys miss them all the time. Well, let's do the same for the onside kick.
Well,
that's an impassioned speech. I love it.
I love the speech, and I just say I'm just so happy to see that Randy Bullock is back in full health, and, he went through a lot health-wise over the past week, and he seemed to be back on the field, his legs are fibrous and vibrant. So
he reached out to the kicker club about readmittance after his 3 kicks today, and
yes, he
got a hard no and a click on the
Mark,
receiver.
Mark, how would you rank like the time that you spent this week gnashing your teeth about Austin Seibert coming back to haunt the Browns? How do you think how well was that time spent?
Well, it's just baked in the DNA. I mean, honestly, I don't
know.
That
was that was a 10-minute monologue from Mark on Tuesday's podcast.
I'm 46 years old and probably spent at least 46 minutes of every hour over the last 3 days freaking out about this game. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that I think if this game happened in 1986, they lose, you go on with it, you go back to middle school, you get a 71 on a math test and you move on. But in this world, it's like I've got to go read Twitter and everyone's hot takes on everyone melting down. Like, I needed Twitter middle school to, I need them to be doing some remote learning, and they're going to be doing a little remote learning tonight.
Mark, you're in Club Dub tonight. Club Dub for you. So enjoy.
I like it.
All right.
That was the 1980s. That looked like Ernest Biner and Kevin Mack closing out the game, Mark.
It did, and it's been a long time. But I will say, Wes, I loved what you said about the Bengals. I'm not out there trying to kill other old school teams that are part of my childhood. A Browns-Bengals rivalry is good for the NFL. Most people under the age of 40 have no idea that that was ever a thing. So let's roll.
We'll be back on Sunday, of course, with the flagship program where we recap every game that we previewed on the earlier podcast today, the Week 2 preview. So make sure you check that out wherever you listen to your podcast. And while you're there, maybe rate, review, throw us 5 stars. That would be nice, too. That would be helpful to us. Thank you to everybody. This is Dan Hansa signing off for Quiet Storm, the mailman, the old boss, and Ricky Hollywood, who's going to lose her fantasy matchup because of old man AJ. Sorry. Until Sunday. Thank you.